Heavenly Father, thank you again for this morning and for every single one of these students that are here. I pray that as we dig into your word, that you would just continue to teach us how we can look more like you. And would you just stir up in our hearts a desire and a hope that we would just continue to walk in your ways. And that we know that you are the one that gives life and hope and peace and all of those things. All of the good gifts come from you, and would we not look for them in other places, but would you just continue to reinforce to us through your word that it's in you that we find life and life to the full. We love you, Jesus, and it's your name we pray. Amen. All right, cool. Hey, so before we get started, like usual, I have a story for you guys. How many of you know somebody that has, like, an Apple Watch? How many of you know somebody who has one? That's a lot. That's like everybody in here. How many of you, is there anybody in here who has one? Anybody in here who has one? You don't have to be shy. I'm not going to like make fun of you or anything. Okay, cool. I usually, whenever I tell stories, I mostly make fun of myself, you guys. You should know that by now. So I'm going to tell you the story. So the Apple Watch that just came out, a couple months ago, like the newest one. I remember I was like sitting around and I started reading all these articles about the new Apple Watch. I don't have one. I just have this normal watch that like tells time and stuff. And so I remember I was reading these articles and I was looking, like it was trending on Twitter and everything. And I'm just like, oh, cool. Like they just announced a new Apple Watch. I've never really had a desire to get one before. But like all of a sudden I was looking at these articles and reading through and like I started watching the videos, like, and the guy that talks like with a British accent was like explaining like the beautiful features of all like the watch. That's not a British accent. It's terrible. I didn't even want to try because I just embarrassed myself. They just have this way of like talking about this thing like it's the most amazing piece of like metal and plastic and glass and all this technology, like, and your whole life can fit inside of it. Like, it's crazy. And I remember for like 20 minutes being like, I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna get an Apple Watch. Yeah. And so I like started looking at prices, trying to figure out like, do I have enough money in my budget? Like, can I buy this? Because having a budget is responsible. And so I'm just like, man, do I have enough money to get this? Okay, I think that I do. Oh, man. And so then the last thing that has to happen before like things are purchased in our house, one of the last things is then I go, and because I love my wife, I talk with her about these things that I want to buy. And so I walk up and I go, all right, Brittany, I'm going to get an Apple Watch. And she goes, give me three reasons why you need it. And I go, let me come back. And I just like walked away. I sat back down at the computer, like, and I opened it up and started looking at it again. And I'm like scrolling through, like looking like, why do I need this? And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I don't need this. Dang it. Like, I want an Apple Watch, but I have no good reason to get it. Because all I could think, I'm like, well, it would help me work out more. Like, I would be way more healthy. And Brittany goes, remember the last time you bought a Fitbit that was supposed to help you? And I go, yeah, well, this is different. 'Cause it's got like a screen and stuff. Like, this isn't the same thing. Okay, fine. You're right. Okay. Well, it would, dang it. And I just want, like, that was the end of the conversation. That was it. That was the farthest I got. That's the closest I've ever come to purchasing an Apple Watch. And I probably won't get that close again. The funny story is that I bought a Fitbit, like 3 years ago, whenever, they first came out with like this GPS running watch. And I was like, Brittany, I need to get this. It's like literally the exact same conversation, except this time I didn't listen to my wife. That was 3 years ago. I know better now. I didn't listen to her, and I was like, no, I'm going to get this. It's going to help me work out all the time. Like, I'm going to be so responsible, and I'm going to be fit and active. And I used it for like 5 days, and then like the battery died, and like I forgot to recharge it. And I wore it maybe two other times in the next like 20 days. This watch was like $250, and all it did was like tell you how far you ran. And like, I can go on Google Maps for that. Like, I could figure that out myself. But I was like, I have to have this. And I bought it. Luckily, there was a 30-day return policy, and I felt so guilty by the end of, like, day 20 that I had only used this thing 5 times. I returned it and then went back to Brittany, who also told me that I should not buy the watch. And I go, you were right. So, as typically happens in our house. So, it's just crazy how there are things that, like, that we see that are, like, flashy or that look really cool that immediately, like, we want that. And it's crazy to think about, but like those are, that's like people's jobs. It's called marketing, where people go to school to be good at selling stuff, or good at marketing, or like, I know that people respond well to this. And so if we incorporate this into our product or whatever, like people are going to want to buy that. Like, does that make sense to you? Even with the shows that you watch, like if you're watching, like a show about, I think if you're watching HGTV and you're watching Chip and Joanna Gaines remodel a home, like then obviously one of the next commercials is going to be like, the Home Depot, you could come and do your own DIY projects. Like, and you're like, yeah, I could be Chip Gaines. Like, and you get so excited and then you're in, and then you're walking around Home Depot being like, what am I going to rip down? What can I fix? I need some power tools. Like, and you're buying stuff before you even think about it. I would say that our culture is so saturated with just a culture of buying and like consuming and wanting things that I don't think that we take a second look even at our own hearts when we're like, man, I really want that thing. Like some of you maybe have already made a Christmas wish list that you've like sent out to your parents and grandparents, and you're just like, this is what I want. I want this, 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 this. And it's all of these things that you're like, it's not even a wish list. Like if you really could retitle it, you'd be like, this is my I need it list. Like, and that's kind of how you send it out, where you're like, I feel like I need this. And I think that if we begin to really process through, do I really need that? I think the answer is probably no. There's probably a lot of stuff in our life that if we look at it and take a second look, we'd probably say, maybe I don't really need that. And then I would also pose this question. I think there are some things that we already own, that we have, that aren't vital to, like, or aren't necessary to us living our lives. That's probably true for a lot of us who have things who are like, hey, this is really nice to have, but do I need this? And so I want to talk about two things this morning as we jump back into our series called Day by Day, which we look at ways to follow Jesus. We look at these things called spiritual disciplines, things that will hopefully, if we practice and we continue to train ourselves for godliness, that we will continue to walk with Jesus by his word and by his spirit every single day. And so if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn back to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament, which is about 3/4 or so of the way through your Bible, in between halfway and 3/4. Does anybody know what that is? Did somebody say 2 pints? That's a different conversion. That's close. 2/3, about 2/3. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, 5/8. There you go. That's it. That's right. 5/8. That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. So Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to be in verse 19 this morning. We're going to talk through two things, and the first thing that we're going to walk through is a word called simplicity. Or just simple. And then the second thing that we're going to talk about after that, we're going to talk about solitude, which I told you earlier. And so I'm excited. So let's dig in and see what God's word has for us this morning. Verse 19 says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So let's dig into this for a minute. And I think the verse that I really want us to hone in on here is verse 22, because I think this is pretty common for us, right? Like, we are, whether we're on our phones or on the computer or we're watching TV, I think that a lot of, like, there are just ads. Like, people who do marketing are selling stuff. And it's just kind of constant. We're constantly bombarded with, hey, you want this? Hey, you need this? It's creepy, like, because now Google and other companies, like, they know which websites you frequent. And so then their ads are tailored to, like, where you typically go. Like, one day, I think I looked for a chainsaw. Like, one time, I was like, I wonder how much chainsaws cost. And I looked at it, and then for, like, the next 2 weeks, like, all of the ads in the corner of, like, all the articles that I read was just, like, Home Depot, and it's, like, chainsaws on sale now. And I'm like, stop following me. What's going on? And I think that here, in this verse, in verse 22, this is what it's saying. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Did any of you ever remember that, like, little kid song that maybe you sang in church that's like, be careful, little eye, what you see? Does anybody remember that? It's like, be careful, little eye, what you see. Be careful, little eye, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. That's right. Thank you. I memorized that when I was a child. But what this verse is saying, this is Jesus teaching here. This is also in the Sermon on the Mount. And funnily enough, this is right after the two passages that we looked at last week about praying and fasting, about doing those things in secret. He transitions from prayer and fasting and doing those things for the Lord and not for other people. He jumps right into this about earthly possessions and things that you have. Because our culture would say the more stuff that you have, the better off that you are. But here's what I've found as I've grown older. I'm only 27. But as I've grown older, there are things that seem like a really good idea to buy or to have of like, man, I feel like I need that in the moment. And then you get it. And like by a week or two later, you're just like, you don't really think about it anymore. Like, how many of you, especially guys, so for you guys, of like the newest game has come out and you run to your parents and you're like, Mom, Dad, please, this game came out. All my friends are playing it. I need to have it. I need to get on this game. It's going to be so much fun. I'm going to play it all the time. It's really worth the $60 that this new video game is. I promise. I'm going to play it all the time, right? And you play it for like 2 weeks. And then another new game comes out. And the new game that was new now becomes old. And now there's just this other game where you're like, Mom, Dad, this other new game came out. And like, I need this. I need to have this because it's really fun. All my friends are playing it. And it's going to be awesome. 1 month later, those two games are now just like on the shelf. And you haven't pulled them out. And you're just like, Mom, now there's this new game that came. And like, it just keeps going. Where there are things where you're like, I need this. And it becomes old and junk. How many of you have walked into the store? I remember this very, very vividly. Like, I remember the day that I bought the Nintendo 64 with my dad. It's an old Nintendo console. I remember very specifically walking in, being the most excited I feel like I ever had been as an 8-year-old kid, being like, this is going to be the best day of my life, Nintendo 64. And then I very specifically remember as a 10-year-old taking the Nintendo 64 with my dad back to the GameStop to turn it in for money so that we could buy the new PlayStation. Like, anybody ever been there? Maybe not for games, right? But maybe even like clothes or other things that you want to buy. Like, how many of you have gone shopping like with your mom or your dad and you're just like, that shirt, I need it now. I have to have it. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. And you're just like, I want that. And then like a year later, you watch yourself put it into like the garbage bag that your mom's going to take to donate to Goodwill. Because you're like, well, now I have better new shirts. And you're like, I have these now. And this is just this constant cycle that if we're not careful and if we don't watch our hearts, we begin to place our identity in the things that we have or own. And it becomes even more prevalent as you guys get older. Like, you see somebody with a really nice car, and all of a sudden you think, wow, they must have a ton of money and must be, like, doing really, really well. Or as you get older, you're going to see people who are like, man, that person's house is, like, way bigger than mine. Or, like, there's just constantly this, like, well, there's more and more and more. And it's funny because some of the people who have a lot of stuff are really just in debt, like, up to their eyeballs. Because they're, like, so maxed out on credit card debt because they're trying to keep up and just, like, I need this thing. I have to have this thing. Because their eye, they begin to look at things and they begin to covet them and want things that aren't theirs or that they don't need. And they begin to say, man, I have to have this. This goes all the way back to the very beginning. How many of you remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden? Like chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the Bible. Like the very beginning, Eve looks at the apple and it says that she saw that it was pleasing to the eye. It goes all the way back that it was like she saw that this apple looked good. And then she began to tell herself, well, maybe that it, like, it would be good to have that. Yeah, I do deserve this. And I want that. And so she took it and ate it, and the rest is history from there, where mankind sinned and fell, and the whole world was screwed up. So this is not a new thing that we're experiencing today. And so I want to encourage you to be careful where your eyes go. This doesn't just go for spending things, because I think the more that we look at advertisements and everything else, like if that's constantly where your eyes are at, like your heart eventually will be drawn to that. That's why they keep pushing and keep bombarding you with like, hey, buy this, hey, this is cool. You see commercials. I remember watching TV shows as a kid and like seeing tons of Nerf gun ads and like, and then this weird thought came in my head of like, I need one of those. It was great. It's like magic. It was crazy. Like they just knew that that's what I want because they played off my emotions and my greed and my want for those things. And so the more that we saturate ourselves with just looking at things and wanting them, how many of you ever wanted something and you know that you have to wait to get it, but like you keep looking it up online just so that you can just kind of like look at it? Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that too. It was with the watch. Where I just kept looking at it, and I'm like, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that. People used to do this all the time, except that, like, stuff was in a window, and so they'd go window shopping, and they would just, like, walk by the window that the thing was in, that they would, and they would just look at it, and like, someday I'm going to buy that. Like, and this has been going on since the beginning of time. The eye is the lamp of the body. So what we see and what we constantly put in front of us are going to be the things that we desire. And so what I think this verse here, 22 and 23, is pushing us towards is that instead of always looking at things that we don't have or things that may be good for a moment, make sure that we are putting in front of our eyes things that are of value, like God's word. I think we even talked about this last week. If you continue to go to God's word, if you continue to put this in front of your eyes and continue to read what God's word has to say, that's going to change what's in your heart. I think that will change, God will change the desires of your heart, and he will help you to continue to seek after him. It's this crazy thing that happens. Verse 23 says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So it's like what you put in front of yourself matters, and what you constantly look at is important, and it matters. And so we're going to keep going here. Next section, verse 25. Is somebody whistling? Let's not do that. Stop it. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what Jesus continues to say, he continues to drive this point home of like, look, there are things that you want and there are things that you need. And as your heavenly Father and as the person that has created you, the God who loves you, knows the hairs on your head, I know what you need and I will give it to you. I will sustain you. I will be the thing that keeps you going. Don't look to the newest thing. Don't look to the flashy, new, bright, shiny, whatever, that whenever you buy it or whenever you take it home or whatever, it makes you feel good for a second. And then you're just continuing to chase after more, more, more. He says, I am the one who will take care of you. I know what you need. I'll take care of you. Somebody really, really smart, who I really respect, one time told me, having more of the thing that doesn't fill you up won't fill you up. Like, I think that's a silly phrase to me when I heard it at first, but I began to think about it and it's like, oh, I do that all the time. We're like, man, if I just had this thing, I would feel really good about my life. And then I get that and I'm like, well, I don't feel that good. Maybe if I had more of that. Well, maybe I had a little bit more. Maybe if I just had like a ton of that, it would feel, and it's just like, it's constant and it's a lie. And it's not going to be the thing that gives you life and life to the full. The only one who can do that is Jesus. Because in him, we find peace and we find joy and hope. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are good things. And you won't find them on a shelf at Target. I promise. Or on Amazon.com. That can be delivered in 2 days or less. It's not going to happen. Like, you can't drone deliver joy. I think that we sometimes substitute that feeling of like, hey, I got this new thing and it was really cool. I think that we think that that's joy, and it's really just like this momentary fleeting happiness, right? Because just like everything else that you own, eventually it's going to get thrown away, or you're going to give it away to somebody else, or you're going to forget about it, and it's going to like rot under your bed and collect lots of dust, and you're going to find it when you move out of your house or something like that. Like, eventually, it's going to be gone and worth nothing. I remember the very first day, I remember sitting in my room and watching like the very first Apple keynote when Steve Jobs was like, he introduced the iPhone. Everybody was freaking out, blown away. This is the best thing that's ever happened, right? And that's now like 10 or 11 years ago. If somebody was like, hey, I have this original iPhone, do you want it? All of us would probably laugh at them and be like, dude, that's like a brick. It's a piece of garbage. But just 10 years ago, it was the most amazing thing that anyone had ever seen. They're just like, this is crazy. It's an iPod with all my music and I can call people? That's crazy. Like, people were losing their minds. Right? Every year, Apple or Samsung or all these people can like, hey, you know about that? About this phone, the phone number 9? Well, this year, it's the 10. Like, and it's every year. Like people mark their calendars and it's like, man, I can't wait to get the upgrade. Can't wait to get the upgrade. It's going to be really great. I'm really excited. And what? We just keep spending more and more money on stuff. And it's eventually going to get old. So you think about this right now. What are things, like if you had to like live on a desert island, right, for 2 months, like you know that you're going to get off this thing, right? And you, like, what would you take if I said you can have your phone or you can have your three best friends for 2 months? Hopefully it's your best friends, all right? But what if I said, hey, instead of 2 months, it's going to be 6 months? And okay, immediately, phone. What if we go from 2 to 6 months, and instead of three friends, you get one friend, or you get your phone? There were some different people who were kind of, I heard both. Here's the thing. Shh. And the phone has no, you cannot call people. There's no service on this deserted island. All right? Shh. All right. So, that's important to note, all right? But it's just constant where, like, there's always something new, and I'm serious. You guys, watch your heart. Guard your hearts against materialism and consumerism and of just, like, wanting more and more, because the thing that matters at the end of the day are the people that you love, and the people that care for you, your relationship with Jesus. Like, there are tangible things, joy and hope and peace. Those things, like, I couldn't live without peace. I couldn't live without joy. If I just went from moment to moment, I'd feel empty, because I've tried that and it stinks and doesn't work. Here's a cool thing that Paul writes. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let that be the thing that your eye, that your mind, that your heart dwells on. Before you watch a show, or before you watch a movie, or before you look at something, or before you read something, like, think. Like, filter it through this. Is this show that I'm going to watch true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent? Is it worthy of praise? Think about those things. Let that be what fills your spare time. Because here's one thing I know. Anxiety and stress and depression are on the rise. And I don't think that it's any surprise that as those things rise, like, the number of people with one of these in their pockets grows. Again, phones aren't, like, evil. They're not, like, in and of themselves, because it's us that has to decide how often you use them, or how you use them and all of that. But it just becomes so easy and accessible. That's why I told you, for the first 2 months of this past year, I sold my phone. And I bought a flip phone. And so I had a flip phone for like 2 months. And the lady at the AT&T store looked at me like I was a crazy person when I said, how do I move my contacts from my iPhone to this flip phone? It was crazy. Like, she thought I was insane, because nobody does that. But can I tell you that, like, it was one of the best decisions that I made, just to find some time to simplify my life and to shed the things that I don't need. Here's the thing that we see over and over and over in Scripture. Jesus continues to call people throughout the Gospels to give away the stuff that they have and come and follow him. We looked at that a couple weeks ago in our Follow series. That the people were like, hey, what about this? What about this? Can I still have this and chase after you? And Jesus is like, man, you need to give that thing away and come after me. You need to leave that behind and come after me. What are the things in your life that continue to bog you down and hold you captive because you want them or you feel like you need them and they keep you from following Jesus? What are those things? You have to watch yourself. You have to be careful. Paul continues. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's huge. Paul says, man, I know what it means to be in need. I know what it means to have more than enough. But regardless of where I'm at on a level of like the stuff that I have, I live my life through Christ's strength and not my own. He's the one who helps me live every single day. He's the one who gets me through. In Luke 12, these are just examples of people who continue to come after Jesus and are like, man, what do I need to give up? What do I need to give away? How do I chase after you? In Luke 12, 15, he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then in verse 33 of the same chapter, he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And he says again here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You guys, if your identity and if your treasure is in the stuff that you have, eventually that stuff is going to be gone. So then who are you when all of that stuff is gone? Who are you if you don't have the clothes that you have, the nice stuff that you have? Who are you if you don't have the ability to get the latest whatever? Who are you then? Is your identity wrapped up in the stuff that you have? Because the discipline of living a simple life, of not being just weighted down and totally wrapped up in the stuff that you own, it looks different. It's a different way of living. Totally different. I would say along with that, I wanna jump to solitude just for a moment. We see Jesus again throughout the Gospels draw himself away from the people that he is around to find some time to be with the Father. We talked about prayer last week. That's one thing that he consistently did. But of solitude, of just like, man, I just need to find a moment in my day to just sit and be still and just get away from kind of the noise and the chaos and the craziness. And Jesus continues to go and do those things all through the Gospels. He continues to draw away from even his best friends and to say, you know what, I just need a moment or a couple moments to just sit and be and just stop. And I think one of the reasons why that is so hard, again, man, I hate keeping pointing to this, but like for me, it's this. And I'm just being honest, because it's like I'm constantly getting a text, or I'm constantly getting a notification, or I'm constantly getting this or that or whatever. Or even whenever we say, man, I want to spend time alone with God in my room, we have to have music on, or we have to have something happening. Like, have you ever just stopped and sat in the silence and just thought about who God is? I think there's something that happens. I think there's something important if we follow in Jesus' example of saying, you know what? I'm just going to turn everything off for a minute, and I'm going to stop. even going back to like the stress and anxiety and depression idea, like that whole thing. I think that some of us, we could be healthier, like we could be more like Jesus if we just stopped for a minute and we pulled back from the crowd or we pulled back from everything. And so here's my challenge for you this week. Try to find moments in your day to repurpose them towards solitude or moments of silence where you can just stop and you know that God is in control and you just sit and you just allow those thoughts to just like, you just think about that. If you have a verse or a favorite verse or something in your mind or a hymn or a song or something where you just sit there in the silence, you can think on those things like, right? Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever, like whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, think about those things. And so not only just in simplicity, but in solitude as well, of those moments in your day where you can just stop and be like, maybe it's in the car. Like maybe nobody really talks in your car, in your family's car, and that's just a moment where instead of being on your phone or worrying about the homework that you have to do, you just stop and you're like, you know what? On the way home, I'm just gonna sit here. And I'm just going to try and just think about who God is and what he's done for me. And you just let that be part of your day. Maybe it's early in the morning. Maybe it's late at night. Maybe there's a moment like in between class where like you're getting your books and everybody else is moving around you and hustling and bustling. And you just take 30 seconds to just like kind of stand in your locker and just like take a couple breaths and say, God, thanks for today. And you just tune everything out for 30 seconds. How does that change your day when you connect with God in that way? When just kind of all throughout the day, we're looking for these moments of solitude and silence. I think if we practice these two things, simplicity and solitude, if we're looking for ways to simplify our lives, where we're just not caught up in the chase of having more, 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 but then if we're also honest with ourselves and we say, man, when are the times that I can just kind of stop and be silent? When can I do that? If we practice those two things, I think that helps us to train for godliness. I think that helps us to look more like Jesus. Because whenever we do that, I think that we're more available to care for other people as well. And to care about other people who are hurting, like, and are having a rough day, like, because we're doing all right, that we help other people. And so I challenge you just to look for those moments. So I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to worship and sing just one song. But as we do that, here in just even a moment, I'm going to have us just take a minute, like literally 1 minute. I'm going to watch my watch. And we're going to take 60 seconds. So don't stand up just yet. But just sit there for a minute. And for 60 seconds, I want you just to enjoy and just be present in the silence. And to just, even if you want to think about who God is, or maybe something that he's taught you this morning, or something that maybe he's laid on your heart, just to take 60 seconds just to think on those things. Or even if you just want to sit in silence, then do that. But I want you to feel, one, how long a minute really is. And so I don't want anybody talking or moving or doing any, like, I just want you to sit and be. And then after 60 seconds, the band, we're going to start, and I'll tell you guys, we'll stand up, and then we'll sing and close and be done. But what are the things in your life that are keeping you from living simple, that are keeping you from following Jesus? And then where in your life can you find times of solitude where you pull away from the noise and the chaos and your phone and technology and everything else, and you can just sit and be with Jesus? 60 seconds. Ready to go.